to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for tuning in. We're here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We broadcast live. We stream live on the internet, and that's at richarddugan.com. We archive the programs on the radio shows page at richarddugan.com, and you can also email me. My address, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love for you to participate in our programs by going to the archives, listening to the broadcast, sharing them with your friends, people who may not be aware of what's going on in this particular arena as we take a look at new ideas, new concepts. Okay, all right, new paradigms. And we want to kind of get the word out that we're here, and we're here to help, here to support, here to encourage in that regard, to try to demystify all kinds of different things, to take the fear out and say, hey, look, you should be living your life with joy, or you can be living your life with joy. If you want to, we're not going to force anybody to do that. Speaking of joy, I was introduced to an interesting surprise when I arrived home yesterday evening. My wife, she is a foster. She fosters kittens, or I guess we do together, but it's really her endeavor. And she had taken a couple in to be adopted out through an organization here in the on the Central Coast in the Santa Barbara area called ASAP. And she took them in to their little kittens, and they are hopefully going to be adopted out. And, of course, that is usually the end of that. Well, I get home last night, and suddenly I see scurrying out from under the table this yellow and white cat, kitten actually, no more than a couple of months old, named Ryan. And he came running right at me. And he spent most of the night in my arms, which was very interesting. And so that was a very, very unique experience for me, because even those cats that we own that live with us and stay, they're not fosters, haven't really exhibited that kind of connectedness, if you will. And it was quite an experience. And that's part of the joy of living this life and in this world today, is connecting and seeing a creature, whether it be man or animal, showing that kind of literally unconditional love, because he'd never met me before and I'd never seen him anywhere in a lineup anyplace else. So it was quite an evening, to say the very least. Well, we are going to jump into an arena that we're going to talk about, well, quite honestly, not totally for the next 2 years, but pretty darn close. Not every program will be focused on 2012, December 21st, but there will be a few. And we have two programs, this Saturday and next, where we're going to be taking a look at contributors to the book and the media presentation of Transforming Through 2012. It's the number one bestseller, and it's one of the most, basically, it's one of the most cutting-edge information sources of its kind. And that's a quote from one of the people who have read it, seen it, experienced it. And it features 33 authors, scientists, researchers, futurists, mystics, astrologers, indigenous elders, get a definition on that one, and luminaries, including Barbara Marx Hubbard, Bruce Lipton, Kirika, and Ramka. And we're going to be talking with a woman who has basically produced it. She has produced this whole multimedia presentation. I have the book in my hand. You can go to the website, which is transformingthrough2012.com. And Deborah Giusti, I want to welcome you to our program. Thank you so much for joining us and for putting this compendium together. I mean, the book isn't very large, but the information contained in the book and on the website it's thought-provoking, but it's also putting mind at ease, if you will. Thank you for coming on the program.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
How did you, to start from square one, get involved with this whole conversation, if you will, regarding 2012, the Mayan calendar. And I know it's not just the Mayans, the Hopis, the Tibetans, many of the other civilizations and religions throughout the world, throughout history, have been talking about these cycles, and this one in particular, as we are approaching it in about, 2 years.
Well, I have been for the last 30 years involved very strongly in the whole shift that's been happening, the explosion of consciousness, which really began a while ago, was activated again in the 60s as all this information came out and things accelerated with new information coming from the East and people shifting their lifestyle and having more awareness of ecology. And things have progressed and progressed. And now what 2012 represents is a nexus point of that shift happening that we've all been involved in for a while here. So my interest began a long time ago and has progressed and progressed. And when it became obvious that 2012 was on the minds and on the forefront of this point of the shift that's happening, that's what interests me. So I started exploring with all the different authors and people that are speaking out about it, what's involved and what's happening. And I found that there was a lot of information around the positive aspects of it being a shift and being connected with this movement that I'd been following this whole time. And I felt very compelled to get the information out, like especially when the movie came out, and that activated it as a very fearful time of destruction and everything falls apart. So in the mind of mainstream, 2012 connected with all this destruction and fear, and I felt very compelled to put out different information that allowed people to understand it was much more than that. Yes, there is going to be some shift, some destruction every time you move from one cycle to the next. Things shift, and it looks like that, but really it's an evolutionary leap that we're talking about instead of things just falling apart and going away as the movie tended to describe.
And by the way, I haven't seen that movie yet, and as an action-adventure film, maybe it might be interesting. As far as things to come, that's not the kind of thing that I want to take a look at, but I know that it's there. I've seen the previews. Looks pretty fantastic, but again, not something that really interests me. But what does interest me is we've had numerous different people, including Barbara Marks Hubbard on this program a number of times to talk about not only, this shift, and she doesn't necessarily always say 2012. It's just we're moving through this transitory period and so forth. And she refers to it as sort of the birthing process, which I think is very apropos. I'm curious, you made reference to the 60s. And I remember as a kid growing up, of course, a lot of the music that was coming out. And, of course, the one that comes to mind is The Age of Aquarius. Let the Sunshine – I think that was what it was. But anyway, you know the song that I'm talking about. And that was part of that sequence. And then, of course, that all kind of dropped away in the 70s. But then it kind of came back in the early, mid-80s as we headed towards what was referred to as the harmonic convergence and so on and so forth. Then it sort of dropped away again in the 90s. There were no real significant events until we headed towards the year 2000. And I was thinking about this in comparison to 2012, Y2K. Now, the difference between these two is that Y2K was associated with all of our technology. This, 2012, is associated with everything, not just our technology. Are you coming across people who are running around, so to speak, I'll say euphemistically speaking, like chickens with their heads cut off, not knowing what to do? Oh, my God, it's coming. And how do I prepare? How do I get out of here? They've bought into the 2012, the movie scenario. Are you coming across many people like that?
Well, I definitely am hearing people that are in a big question about it because of the information of it being the end of the world type of information or publicity that's gotten out there. I don't think there's a mass evolution or towards, going to other places to live, although there is a lot of people that are just using common sense, because it's obvious things are shifting and quickening and our resources are shifting and dwindling and peak oil and all of this. So there is a movement in a conscious way to gather community and gather your resources and be really conscientious about this next cycle and what it may bring. So I do see that on many levels. For example, where I live here in Sevastopol, we have a movement called Transition Town, and it's about gathering the community together and understanding the resources within your community. So if peak oil hit and we didn't have the kind of energetic resources that we typically had for either a short period or a long period, we could band together as a community and survive quite well within the resources of our community, which is how typically man has lived on the planet for so many years. So there are conscientious movements like that based on what this information, the transition, the shift, and all this that we've been talking about. And there is a little fear out there from the movie of people wanting the information and wanting to know what is going on, which is what compelled me to compile this book, which is a great resource of the scientific, the practical, the research, and the spiritual, and the intuitive, and projecting what's happening on a whole spiritual, energetic level as well.
Obviously, nobody's been through anything like this before in this time frame. Nobody's been alive this time around, if you accept reincarnation as a process. Everybody that's here now has not been through anything like this, has no points of reference whatsoever. But I guess what we need to maybe look at, Deborah, what is it that is there some place? And obviously, transforming through 2012. I like the fact that it's through it. So there's hope there. There's huge hope. But are there some points of reference that you can direct us to that we can take a look at? And I was watching the trilogy of Matrix last night, and there was a speech given by Morpheus to the people of Zion, and basically he said, the reason why I am not fearful is because we are still here. Is that the best point of reference that we can look at? Look, we've made it through the Cold War. We made it through World War II. We made it through the Depression and World War I and the Civil War and all of these different things. And we're still here. Is that enough for us to embrace and say, hey, there is hope. We don't need to be fearful.
Well, there's definitely hope, because there is a whole evolutionary process that we're on, but it's also a choice point. And I would think at other times and other cultures, maybe they did not make it, or they did not shift up to the highest level that they could. And I think it's a choice point within ourselves spiritually and on the microcosm and in our own lives, where we choose to be, how we choose to tune into spirit and know exactly where we're supposed to be and how to evolve and how to live. And, of course, it's a huge choice point of our planet and all the choices that are being made on the larger scale, economically, ecology, politically, and all that. So it's the microcosm and the macrocosm and how that all works together. But I don't think it's all set in stone how it's all going to work out, because this is what we're being asked to step up to do, is asked to step up to a new way of being within ourselves and our own lives and functioning as a world system. So these are the tests and the tribulations that are coming out now, which is sort of obvious. It's almost like we're going through a healing crisis. All the things in our world that are unsustainable and they're not for the balance of the whole system are coming up and coming up like pimples and popping at the surface of our cultural consciousness for us to deal with and integrate and heal and shift how we do things, maybe radically to a whole new way of doing. And of course, things are speeding up faster and faster, so everything's becoming obvious and it's right there. You know, as soon as it happens, you can't really hide things anymore. It's all coming out. So I think it's a choice point, and I think we're playing this out. And yeah, there's lots of hope, and what comes through, what I hear from the authors in my book, is this is just not a time where things, the unsustainable, gets shooken up and possibly destroyed, but it's a time when new birthing comes through, new technology, new ways of being, new ways of spiritually activating and becoming wiser and stronger and more intuitive and opening up your whole energetic spiritual system to a new way of being. So it's a very exciting time of, you know, going to the next level of humanity, too, and in that same sense, letting go of the old ways that don't work anymore.
Well, you're quoting me now. Now, I'm very much into defining terms, and there's a term that has been used, you've used it at least probably 8 times already, maybe 6, in this program already, and we're only in to the program maybe about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. What is the definition of sustainable or sustainability?
It
seems to be the big buzzword today.
Yeah, that which replenishes itself, that which is whole within itself and does not deplete or utilize the resources. That dynamic, I mean, when the Native Americans lived on the earth, that was a big part of their life philosophy. You know, they took what they needed, but they didn't take more and, you know, pillage and, you know, rape the earth for finances, the way our culture has done with some of the resources of our planet.
Mm-hmm.
So things are done in balance and in honor of the balance of everything.
Right. Well, and of course, for them, I don't think they even had a word for sustainable. They were just aware that everything that was around them was there for them, but they only needed to take, if you will, or use what they needed at that time because it would always be there as long as they did it rather than stockpiling, or some would even use the word hoarding. That's a big word today, too, is hoarding. Whatever it is that you're hoarding, whether it's newspapers or oil or water or, you know, whatever you want, or cats, whatever the case may be, they knew that it would always be there if they just used it as they needed it. And I think that we, maybe you can expound on this a little bit. Do you see that we have sort of gotten into the lack mentality, as I think it's phrased, that, you know, oh, there's not enough, so I've got to go ahead and stockpile?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a lesson of our whole culture here, because as our economy has shifted and our kind of level of living has gone down, even though we still live like kings and queens relatively in the in the whole history of the universe, when you have lack, you tend to hoard and feel and, you know, at whatever level it is. And that's one of our spiritual lessons, I believe, is just to really be at peace with, you know, what is and what you have, instead of this whole American culture of achieving, you know, acquiring, got to have more of this and more of that. I think that's a big lesson for our whole culture right now, that everyone's having their own personal lessons in this, in their own life.
Yeah.
But it is the bigger lesson that we're all having to come, you know, kind of confront right,
right
now.
Exactly. If you've just joined us, we're talking with Deborah Giusti. She is the producer of the multimedia presentation Transforming Through 2012, Leading Perspectives on the New Global Paradigm, featuring 33 notable individuals that you can certainly check out at the website, which is transformingthrough2012.com. Barbara Marks Hubbard, who's been a guest on the program, Ramka and Kirika, who have also been on the program. I actually attended their Quantum Leap 2012 back in March. We had the privilege of going down to Burbank and being there to hear both George Norrie, who is also who actually did your foreword, and I have to say that as much as I enjoyed being there, it was a little disconcerting when I would go out into the lobby area and I would see all of the different vendors, and some of them were selling all of these different supplies to bunker down for the winter, so to speak. And I thought, well, isn't that kind of fostering a little bit of fear? But as I've come forward to this point in time, I've begun to realize that whether 2012 was coming or not, it's still important to be prepared. What happens if the power goes out for an extended period of time? Do I have enough fuel for my generator to keep my refrigerator going? Because I don't know how to see. That's the other thing. I don't know how they made ice in the pioneer days, and I don't know how to make it today. So, but it's important to be prepared. So then that's where my mindset was. Boy, these people are feeding off of the fear. But now it's no. They're saying, hey. Even if this weren't happening, it's kind of what I've said about global warming and climate change and all of the things that are being pushed to try to, quote unquote, save the planet. What if there was no global warming? What if there was no climate change? Wouldn't these things still be good things to do?
Definitely. I mean, California is great for earthquakes. So that's just kind of a natural thing that one should do is to protect their family and their community is be prepared. So all of that's really great to do for whatever reason.
I obviously you've been involved with this process for 30 years, and it's the culmination now in Transforming Through 2012, the multimedia presentation. Was this even in your early years, was this part of your mindset, your spirit set, if you will, this kind of path, not necessarily and specifically 2012, but just in general, the whole concept of spirituality and community and harmony, which we're also going to talk about a festival that is coming up as well. But was this part of who Deborah Giusti was in the early days?
Oh, totally. It's always been my life work. I've been involved in this type of work forever. Like you were just going to mention, I started the Harmony Festival when I was 22, which is all about fostering the information and communication and fun about this. And I also started at the same time a distributing company for health products and New Age products. So I felt very drawn and very compelled to be a messenger and a distributor to the masses or whoever was interested of this type of information and products and services. So yes, it's been my life work. And the thing that's exciting about this project, I'm always hanging out there on the cutting edge of what's next. And of course, the internet and the digital possibilities that are in front of us now has been one of the most exciting things coming up because we can really mass communicate and mass educate. And that's one of the exciting things about this book. It's not only a print book, but it's a multimedia book, which is the next state of the art of ebook technology. This is the first of its kind that's out there. And what it is it's text with audio clips and video clips in a book format. So this is how our books will be read here coming up in the next 1, 2, 3 years. This book will be available on the iPad the beginning of next year, but this is how the book industry is going to go more and more to digital. So this is the exciting thing about being on the cutting edge, is this is the next technology to get this information out in masses to the world without using trees or gas or any of that we did in the old form with the paper books.
So
I've always been involved with it, and yes, this is like the next level of it.
So this glossy covered paper book that I hold in my hand is at the bottom end, the primitive level of the multimedia presentation.
Well, people love physical things, and some people want the print book, but the digital online book, which people can look at for free if you go to the website transformingthrough2012.com, you can look at the book for free and get 4 free chapters and see the whole multimedia ebook technology right there.
Very cool.
So,
very cool
uh-huh.
indeed. And obviously we are heading towards the 2012, and we're heading towards We're heading towards that period in time, and I'm just sitting here looking at the clock thinking, okay, well, we're also heading toward a break. So what we're going to do is we're going to pause here for just a moment, Deborah, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. I want to talk some about, of course, this Harmony Festival. Now, I've been to the website. We'll give that out as well, and we'll talk more about this multimedia presentation that you have, Transforming Through 2012, and we encourage you to stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm here to help you. An appraisal of your art and antiques may be the best investment you can make today. You know, after the fires, folks were concerned about their valuables and asked what was the best way to protect them for insurance purposes. You need an appraisal to determine value. When you plan your trust and will, and you want to give treasured art and antiques to your family, you need an appraisal to determine value and be fair. When you want to sell art or antiques in this fluctuating market, you need an appraisal to determine value. When you need help selling something for the highest value, you need an appraisal. And when you have inherited art and antiques and want to know what you have, you need an appraisal. I'm Elizabeth Stewart, a certified appraiser for these past 20-odd years, and I can help. An appraisal is less expensive than you think and may be the best investment in these times. The first consultation is free, so call me at 805-895-5005 and check out my radio show on AM 1290.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close.
Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us here. And we are going to talk now to our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald, and we're going to talk about Mercury in retrograde. We are demystifying that whole thing. Matter of fact, Mercury in retrograde started December 10th. Now, this is interesting, Beth. You tell me that it started at 4:05 a.m. on the 10th, but you don't give me a time that I can look to as a post, a marker, on the 29th of December.
Oh, I can do that.
Not that that's all that important.
Yeah, I've got that.
But you've also, you know, we talked about the degrees last week, and we, in terms of the starting point at 5 degrees in Capricorn goes to 19 degrees in Sagittarius, and the best way that I was able to understand it was when you take a look at the rainbow, you're moving from one color to the other, but you're changing hues as you transform. There is a demarcation point between the two colors, but it's shifting into that other color, even within its own realm there.
Right.
So that's kind of what we were talking about. And, of course, we just finished celebrating those Jews who do just finish celebrating Hanukkah on the 9th and focusing on gratitude, acknowledgement, appreciation of God's miracles in our lives, light. And also we have the holidays coming up, Christmas for those of us. And also, rather exciting for me, not only do I have a wedding anniversary coming up on the 21st,
aww,
but there's a lunar eclipse and full moon.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
That almost seems diametrically opposed. You know, you have a lunar eclipse and a full moon. Okay, how am I going to see the full moon if it's eclipsed by the Earth? But it'll pass. Now, by the way, I've watched one of those lunar eclipses through a telescope. Fascinating. I mean, it really is neat to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're actually saying we should be able to see this one over a good portion of the world.
So let's go into a continuing explanation of where we are and where we're going into the new year.
Into the new year, I really so appreciate the comments of your guest. I so appreciate people who take a stand for reframing the present so that you don't have to be in a place of fear. I'm working with so many people right now around economic issues, with clients and stuff where, mm-hmm. you know, the looming question marks over the economy, the looming question marks over our leaders' ability to lead us out of this economic downturn. A lot of people, whether they're unemployed, self-employed, employed by a company, there's huge, huge levels of fear in the community right now.
Yeah.
And you know, fear can be an incredible, it's a normal human emotion, but it really can be detrimental if you tend to dwell there. And mm-hmm. it's really important to help people find ways and means of recognizing when they're in fear and shifting into something more empowering. Shows like this are so helpful. Speakers like your guest are so helpful, and I so appreciate the work that so many are doing out there to help keep people positively focused.
Well, I was really impressed by just when I first heard about Transforming Through 2012 and then, of course, had the opportunity to book Deborah Giusti on the program because that is really what it's about. Whether we turn this world into the world of the Jetsons or it kind of stays kind of the where it is, but we let go of the fear and the anxiety and the angst.
The victim.
Yeah.
You know, that we do have a hand in what we create and what we experience, and the retrogrades are a fantastic turning point because they kind of give us a chance. They are a still point where you can slow things down. Actually, you don't have to work very hard at all to slow things down because things just slow
they
down.
Do, yeah.
And so they give you the opportunity to kind of reflect more than you would normally, reevaluate, reassess what's going on. You know, how did I get here, and is this a good place? And if I want to continue on this path, these are the things I want to keep doing more of, keep getting the good. And if I'm not where I want to be, or if I'm clear that certain habits and behaviors and beliefs are not serving anymore, it's a really good chance to recommit to jettisoning those things and embracing something more helpful and successful.
And I've heard the criticisms also that, well, gee, all of your guests are kind of saying all the same thing. Now, I would have to say that it's still a minority, okay, but I would also say, then don't you see the pattern?
Right.
Don't you see that if these folks like Deborah and yourself and others are saying the same kind of thing with that common thread running through it, that you might want to take a look at it just a little bit? I think that would be a good thing.
Well, yeah, and the thing I keep coming back to in those conversations is how we in the media have a moral responsibility not only to inform and educate people, but also to uplift.
Yeah.
So much of what's out there on the airwaves is so fear-mongering, fear-based, divisive. And so for programs like this and programming like this that really serves to show people a beacon of life and light and give them kind of a life preserver to hold on to and point them in a direction so that they can travel their path more easily. You know, if CNN just did 20 minutes a day of something positive, you know, I'm really grateful for their Heroes program and that they do that, but if they did that once a day or once a month, this world would be a better place.
Yeah, it would.
And I'd like to see that. So.
Well, we're going to continue on with Deborah Giusti and Transforming Through 2012, and people can get a hold of you through BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Yes.
And you're right here on the Central Coast, so people can reach you.
I am in Santa Barbara. I do a little traveling, but you can always get me through the website, and I would love to meet more people and more like-minded souls.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Richard, and bless you for the work you do out there.
Thank you, Beth, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Tonight, the number 26th-ranked Westmont Warriors return home to continue first-round GSAC play as the Warriors take on the Hope International University Royals. And you can hear all the action live on AM 1290. I'm John Martini. Join me from Murchison Gym in Santa Barbara tonight. It all starts with the pregame show at 7:15, tip-off 7:30. Hope International at number 26 Westmont, here on your Warriors station, AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
Take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
I'm Richard Dugan, your host here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Deborah Giusti. She is the producer of the multimedia presentation of Transforming Through 2012. And good words to use there, through, which means that there is the other side. We will see it. We will see the sunrise the next morning. I heard an interesting comment on the news the other day, Deborah, that and they were talking about the level of uncertainty in the world today, and primarily regarding the economy. And I thought, so you're telling me that there was more certainty 5 years ago in the economy than there is today, and yet you still didn't really know what was going to happen tomorrow, or honestly, that you really knew the sun was going to come up? I wonder about that sometimes, that we somehow we trap ourselves. On the one hand, when it's good, oh, it's going to be good tomorrow too. But then when it's bad, oh my gosh, it's going to be bad tomorrow.
I think that's just a matter of human psychology, and things shift and twist and turn, and that's kind of one of the main things in spirituality, is you don't get so taken off center from the way it looks from, you know, your perspective, which is all subject, you know, which is all subjective anyway, and that you know, things are going to shift and come and go, good, bad. It's just important to be in your own center and continue to enjoy life and be grateful and share love, bottom line, with it all. So
when you began this project, Transforming Through 2012, did you see it evolving into what it is today? And maybe more importantly, today, do you see it evolving into something that maybe you never even thought of yesterday?
Yes, because that's the nature of the creative process. And I've always been an entrepreneur, starting from a seed of an idea and growing it from there and putting out a thought of what I'd like to do, and then taking everything that comes back from that in terms of opportunities and synchronicities, and also being right in the timing of what's needed at that time. So this print book, and especially the multimedia book, is going to grow into a whole new series that will share with people the great authors, the great thinkers from all the different perspectives, and what they see is coming down on the world based on the new global paradigm. What I'll be doing is evolving this series through 2012, but really addressing the leading perspectives on the new global paradigm, which is the subject of the book. So, yes, I see this evolving. I see utilizing technology to be able to get it out there. As technology evolves, as we start to read our books on iPad and the multimedia and access to information becomes greater, where we can get the information from these great thinkers and have it be instantly a part of our lives. So I definitely am very excited about what the beginning thread of this, by printing this one book, will evolve into the future.
Are you observant of the leaders of the world and their transformation, if it's even happening, even if it's minuscule? Any movement is movement to these new paradigms. Are you seeing some of the world's leaders starting to realize that, gee, you know what? We can't keep going the way we've been going. We have to change, and so forth?
Well, I think the lessons that have been coming up are pretty obvious in terms of the ecological destruction that's happening and the economic challenges that are happening, that, you know, the world leaders, I mean, they're at the top seeing this whole thing and responsible, so they have to take on this, you know, these life lessons, which may be coming in our personal world, in our personal lives, but yes, they're seeing us and they have to adapt to it. And so I see things moving forward as we have the consciousness around ecological ways happening, and also dealing with the economy and the greed and the way the economy's been run, having something that's happened. But it's obviously not an easy task, because mm-hmm. you have certain ingrained structures that don't want to change but are being rattled to change, and then you have leaders that can see beyond that, or leaders that want to, you know, keep their own life the way they want it. So it's not that clear cut, for sure.
You talked about choice point. Now, I've interviewed Greg Braden a number of times, and he's used that term as well, that 2010, 2011, and 2012, we actually have some significant choice points in those 3 years. And we've pretty well blown through 2010. Whether we made the right choices or the wrong choices, nobody knows. But I'm curious, we can see the unsustainable systems and what's happening to them. That's obvious to us, I think. What we can't see are the sustainable systems that we want for all of us globally, in terms of, well, Deborah, I want sustainable system A, but you want sustainable system B, and Fred over here wants sustainable system C. And we're almost right back to where we started from. Look, I want what I want. I don't care what you want. Or is even that mentality shifting from your perspective?
I think so, because really we as a community need to get together. And I would say the communities that are aware of the whole shift and preparing for it, like where I here and live in Sebastopol, we as a community are we have a green city council, and we have a very progressive way that community gets together and supports one another, all in the mindset of sustainable living and honoring and, you know, having community come forward and change the way that it's doing it to ways that will be a healthier life for the community and for the land and for everything.
So there's more a cooperative, and maybe that's not even the right word to use, but there's more of a unified effort here, rather than individuals trying to fight for their constituents, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's what crisis brings. And that's our country is in crisis, you know, and When your neighbor's in crisis, you tend to reach out and want to help. When you're in crisis, you'll feel the community coming forward. When the whole community's in crisis, they come together and say, okay, we got to band together now. This is how we're going to survive and work. So that's definitely happening, because there are many crises happening all over in our community now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and here in our own community in Santa Barbara, we individuals who have little, you know, crises going on, they're not little to them, they're huge, but the community rallies, comes together to help support them because they're part of this community as well. And I think that that's a wonderful thing. And I know that you and I probably feel the same way. I hope I'm never on the receiving end of something like that. But at the same time, I'm glad that I live in a community where if I had to be, I know that I could be because we have that type of a system. Transforming Through 2012 is the title of the book. It's the title of the multimedia presentation. It's available at transformingthrough2012.com. Now, you are also have been involved for over 30 years with the Harmony Festival. Now, the first thing that went through my mind, and I mean this lovingly, the first thing that went through my mind when I saw the pictures of the crowds and the music was Woodstock. And I don't know that I can handle being around that many people. I mean, that was I that's just me. But what was the original vision, if you will, for the Harmony Festival back, was it 33 years ago?
Yeah, 33 years ago. Well, definitely Woodstock was the mother of this type of
the
genre.
Mother of all festivals.
Yeah, for sure. But what was born of the 60s was this shift in and new ideas coming forward in health, in ecology, world music, in all sorts of holistic health practices and alternative methods of living and being. And so the nature of wanting to do this was to have these businesses, these people, this ideas come forward and being presented at a festival. And, of course, music is the great denominator that draws people and brings in celebration. So the combination of the music festival along with the ecology and the booths and the speakers, that was the way we saw doing it, me and a partner, to further what we felt was our mission to bring these incredible ideas and unite the community to also transform to new ways of living at a higher level in their own lives.
Now, you have a festival, a Harmony Festival, that's festival with a V, not a B, Richard, that's coming up in June of 2011.
Yeah, this will be the 33rd year, and it's totally amazing what's happened in the last 33 years. It is actually a Disneyland of a human potential movement. We call it, it's like Burning Man meets Bill Graham Presents, meets Bhakti Festival, meets Country Fair, meets Rock and Roll Festival, all of it, meets Techno Tribal. All of it comes together. It invites, and it's very multi-generational, inviting the children to the older people. And there is something for everyone there. It's mini festivals within a festival.
You have a jazz ensemble or event as well in there, mixed in with the music for the young folks, mixed in with, because I was looking at some of these other things, along with that techno-tribal dance and so forth.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
And there's many festivals. There's the Eco Village, where you have all the permaculture and all the information of exhibitors and speakers and demonstrations. You have the Wellness Pavilion, which gives you all your holistic health practitioners and all kinds of products and services. You have the Healing Sanctuary, where you can go in and actually experience body work and healing and all the different modalities that are available. We have a sports actions area, which has top skaters from all over for the youth, although everyone is pretty much into that. So that's a new component that we added. We have the Goddess Temple, which was born out of noticing that the women were coming into power, basically, and it was
works
for
me
come forward and share the gifts, and
yeah.
So it's exhibits and music and ritual and speakers, and it's one of our popular areas for sure.
Well,
and of course, we have the kids' magical playground, so we have lots for the kids as well.
So you've got you have something for just about everybody.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. But the main common denominator is harmony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everywhere around the grounds, people feel loved. They feel inspired. They feel so much creativity and juice and harmony. We have 35,000 people there. No incidents of fights or weirdness or anything. Everyone just gets along. It's incredibly beautiful.
Well, because they know the intent of the festival is
harmony. Yeah, and this is
harmony.
Up in Santa Rosa, California, which is the gateway to the wine country. It's about 1 hour north of San Francisco, up 101. So it's a really beautiful area at Sonoma County Fairgrounds. We take over the whole fairgrounds, which is about 15 acres. People can come and even camp on the grounds if they like, or be at motels locally. And it goes for 3 days. So you can come on Friday and have a whole life-changing experience through Sunday night. And it goes into the night till 2 and 3 a.m. as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, you can take a nap in the afternoon and continue on into the evening. Now, you say there's an area where people can camp. They can bring their tents or their travel trailers, things like that, and rather than spending money on a hotel or motel. And, you know, not to disparage that industry, but by the same token, you know, I had a lot of fun as a kid camping out even in my parents' backyard, so that was a lot of fun as well. Let me, before we run out of time, make reference to, again, the Transforming Through 2012 website is transformingthrough2012.com. But the festival, the Harmony Festival, is at harmonyfestival.com as well. People can get information not only about attending, but also participating as as a performer or whatever the case may be. I'm sure
that.
I'm sorry?
As a vendor,
right. So you can go to harmonyfestival.com for the 33rd annual. You get, again, it's up in Sonoma County.
Yes.
Sonoma, California. It's in June, and I'm not looking at the dates. I keep thinking 11, 12, and 13. Is that right?
Yes, 10th through 12th.
10th through 12th. Okay, well, I had one of them right anyway. Also, Transforming Through 2012, what is the meaning of 2012, and how will it change life as we know it? I'll have to say I remember one song, and maybe it was by the group REM, it's the end of the world as we know it. Well, guess what? My world has ended numerous times throughout my lifetime. There are places I can't go back to. That is the, in my observation, that's the end of a world, if you will. And that happens to us on a regular basis. This is a little bit more transformative, and hopefully everybody will get through it just fine. And Deborah Giusti, producer of Transforming Through 2012, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, sharing your perspectives on 2012 and your presentation as well that people can go to at transformingthrough2012.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us here on the program, and we encourage you to go to her websites. There are two of them. One is for 2012, the transformingthrough2012.com, where you can get more information, get the free chapter, check out the multimedia package and so forth, and then go to harmonyfestival.com, find out about the event coming up in Sonoma, California, the 10th, 11th, and 12th of June 2011. And we encourage you to check out all of our guests and see what they have to offer. I think you'll be fascinated and enlightened as well as entertained. It'll be a lot of fun as well. What a great getaway. I keep thinking about taking a vacation here sometime soon, and maybe that would be the time to do it. Take a drive up there, rent a travel trailer, or even buy one by then and head up there, although we do have a three-man tent, so maybe we'll do that as well. That'll be a lot of fun. Well, that's going to wrap up this program of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We encourage you to tune in next Saturday as we continue this discussion, and we'll be talking with Kimberly Ruff, and we'll talk about her contributions to the book Transforming Through 2012. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan. Love to all.